destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. Welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. This time of the day in California is always nice because it's already starting to cool down. I know in some parts of the country it gets really hot in the day, but it also gets hot at night. Here it gets cool at night. We have nights in the 50s here frequently, even though it might be 90 in the daytime. So it's really cooling off and it's nice. Got a little breeze coming through the window here of my house. Hope you guys are doing well. This is Barack Obama's birthday, August 4th. Happy birthday to all you Leo Nine of Diamonds out there. You know, I did a prediction earlier. I think it's been about 4 months since I did a presidential election prediction, and I predicted at that time that Obama would defeat Hillary, but that McCain would beat Obama, mostly because of the fact that Obama is moon to McCain, and that still holds true, which makes him a very formidable opponent for Obama. In most cases, it's impossible to win against a person that you're moon to. And the Nine of Diamonds is moon to the Ten of Diamonds. Ten of Diamonds happens to be McCain's ruling card. And as you might have heard me say before, McCain is the same birthday as Michael Jackson, and I just don't trust the guy, as I literally don't trust most Ten of Hearts people that I come in contact with. I have met some exceptions to the rule, but by and large you have to be careful because they have probably one of the greatest potentials for dishonesty of any card in the deck. At any rate, I've been taking a closer look at Obama, and it dawned on me that he is actually Saturn to McCain, which I didn't really realize before. And another thing is that there's another card that we often use that's called the Decanate Ruler. Now, I've written about it before in my newsletter, and it's too complicated to explain on this radio show, or I would do it, because it'd be kind of fun for everybody to be able to look up their Decanate Ruling card. I have found a lot of significance in the Decanate Ruling card. I still don't know exactly how it compares to the regular birth card and planetary ruling card, but I definitely see the significance of it. And I see the significance of it in relationships. And in this particular case, Barack's planetary ruling card, his Decanate Ruling card, is the Jack of Diamonds, which the Ten of Diamonds of McCain's is moon to. So this gives Barack a much better chance, combined with the fact that he's Saturn to McCain. These two elements here could tip the scales in his favor. So now I really can't make a definite prediction about this. I felt pretty clear that McCain would beat Obama before, but having taken a closer look now, I can't really say that's going to be true. And, you know, Obama is ahead in the polls now, but I didn't really think that really mattered much because anything could happen. Something could happen in the last 2 weeks before November 7th. Something can happen in mid-October or late October that could tilt this race in either direction. I do know one thing. It's going to be a really good fight. We're going to see a lot of going back and forth. And it's not going to be nearly as easy for Obama to beat McCain as it was for him to beat Hillary Clinton. I also had a thought that if he happened to select Hillary as a running mate, that it might actually increase his chances of beating McCain, not because Hillary's cards are stronger than McCain's, but that because when you combine two people together, they end up sort of coming at it as a third entity, which may be stronger. it's just a chance. You know, it's not a definite. It's a chance. However, I have personal reasons why I would not like to see Hillary in office. I just think that, you know, she would bring too much baggage with her into the office, and would her influence would be to serve her constituents, people who supported her, the businesses and things. I mean, not the people, but the businesses. Anyway, here we are. Nine of Diamonds is interesting because a lot of famous people have been Nine of Diamonds. I mean, President Bush is a Nine of Diamonds. Turns out Albert Einstein was a Nine of Diamonds. The spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle is a Nine of Diamonds. And now Barack Obama is a Nine of Diamonds. It's a card with very interesting karma. There's always a strong desire for success and for fame there due to a past life influence, but many Nine of Diamonds aren't allowed to achieve that in this lifetime. They're not going to achieve that. A lot of Nine of Diamonds, and I've seen a lot of these, I've met a lot of these over the years, they really become sort of unhappy about their life because their expectations always exceed what their life is. So, you know, that's a surefire formula for unhappiness. If my expectations are always greater than what I have or what I am, I could be perpetually unhappy. And I've seen this in a lot of Nine of Diamonds people. And I see it in all of them, really, to a certain degree. And when it's pronounced, when it's too much, you end up with a Nine of Diamonds person that's very unhappy. And they feel somewhat victimized by their life and by the world. And it's really interesting because when you look at their life, stand back and look at it objectively, they have so much to be grateful for. And yet, from their perspective, it's not enough. So it's very interesting how powerful our personal perspective is about everything in life. And we have cards in the deck, like the Nine of Diamonds, that help us see, illustrate that in a more dramatic way. Some of you might know Nine of Diamonds people, too. They're one of my karma cards, and they happen to be the karma card that has to give to me. So sometimes they're not too friendly to me. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. It just depends. It depends sometimes on the ruling card and other factors, and so forth, and so on. It was interesting to note that Billy Bob Thornton is also born today. Happy birthday, Billy Bob. Interesting that Angelina Jolie married a Nine of Diamonds. I sort of wondered what card he was. We also have football player John Riggins. We have track star Mary Decker Slaney. We have Louis Armstrong, trumpet player Yasser Arafat, and the wife, ex-wife of Ringo Starr, Maureen Cox. There's probably lots of other people, too. These are the only ones I know of right now. So tonight's topic is going to be primarily about relationships. And we could, as I said in my email today, we could probably talk about relationships for days, if not weeks. There's so much to it. The cards really help a lot. But, you know, you have to combine the cards with a bit of common sense. You can't just rely on the cards. A lot of people will use the cards, and they will try to make the cards be what they want them to be, and they will forego any common sense about it. They will ignore the facts of the situation. They will ignore what people say to them, which they're telling the truth. They'll ignore that because they want so much for it to be a certain way. And I think it's important to realize the cards are not going to just bend to your will. And neither will another person's will. I guess one of the first things about relationship is that we don't have any say-so over whether somebody else loves us or not. The love that somebody feels in their heart is not something that we can control. Now, we might be able to control, if you're a control-oriented person, you might say, yeah, well, I can control people. If I know what they want, I can control them by giving or withholding what they want. You know, this will work on a child, and it can work on some adults if you know they really want what you got. And there are lots of relationships that end up like that where, you know, one partner, one of the two people really wants a lot from the other person, a lot more than the other person wants from them. And then it's up to that person whether they want to, they can use that if they want. I've done it before. I've certainly used several people in my life when I was younger for gratification of one form or another. And I'm sure most of us here have done it if you think about it. But, you know, there's also just that being honest thing and saying, well, I don't really want to take advantage of you. I just really don't feel that way about you. And there's a book out called He's Not That Into You, something like that. He's just not that into you. And that applies to both sexes. Sometimes a person just isn't that into us. But there's a common sense factor here that comes into play. And you can ignore it or you can use it to your benefit. Sometimes the feelings we have for somebody are just so strong. I had a client recently, and it was a Neptune relationship. These are usually Neptune relationships. And the person who is receiving all this Neptune energy feels like, wow, this is so perfect. And yet they ignore one little detail like, but he's an alcoholic, or he's a drug addict, or he's always working and never available, or he's married. It's interesting to me how a person who's normally very highly intelligent can make really informed decisions about things in life will just totally throw all their common sense out the window when they meet somebody and have a certain feeling for that person. And I mean, I've had those feelings myself, but I really think I was a little better equipped to see the truth, at least in my own case. I certainly went nuts over a couple of relationships in my life, and I probably would have done all kinds of things to keep them and wasn't able to. I don't think I embarrassed myself too much, but I might have. So it's those Neptune relationships that really get us. But there's a thing about common sense and relationships, and one thing to look at that really helps, and this is common sense, is look at who you're attracting who you're attracted to, and listen to what they're saying and really look at who they really are. Try to get past your what you want them to be and look at who they really are. For example, this example of my client who was madly in love with a man who was an alcoholic. I mean, come on. Common sense dictates that you really can't have a relationship with somebody who's addicted to substances, including alcohol and other things. Now, a pot smoker might be possible, but even then you're only getting a certain percentage of the whole person, depending on how much pot they smoke. I mean, I've seen people, I've known many people who smoke pot all day long. They get up in the morning and start smoking. They don't stop until they go to sleep at night. And I suppose there's a lot of people out there like that. But that kind of person, so much of their life and personality is shaped by the drug, you wonder if you even know who they are. But, you know, some of the common sense rules about relationship is if a person is addicted to any substance or even anything like sexual addiction, work addiction, that's an addiction too for a lot of spades people, addicted to work, you know, they find such fulfillment there that they'll just keep running to their work when they feel emotional and things aren't going right. So one of the first things, you know, if you really want to be in a relationship, if you really did, you would check out the person. And you wouldn't just go for it with somebody if that person is, number one, not available, like they're married, or they say they're not interested in marriage. If they, you know, listen, this is the thing about women. I don't know why women, a lot of women will not take what men say as the truth. And yet men are pretty good about saying exactly what it is that's going on for them or how they feel. And yet, like, I've had lots of clients and they'll say, I'll say, well, what did he say? Well, has he ever said he really wanted to be with you in a long-term committed relationship? And they said, no, but one time he said this, and it was something that sounded like it, but it wasn't it. Like, every time, if she ever did ask him directly what he wanted, and he told her, it was never what she wanted. But they'll hold on to something that sounded like it, or something a guy will say in passing. I mean, you know, words will come and go. And in the heat of a moment, a lot of things will be said. Maybe a person will have a really wonderful fifth feeling and they'll share it with you. But really, you have to be willing to listen to everything that's being said. Everything that's being said. Now, if you find yourself in a relationship with somebody who is whatever they are, okay, you got to look and say, that's a mirror of me somehow. This is actually common sense. Okay? The cards can help you because you can see who it is you're attracting, or attracted to would be more accurate. And then you can look at their card, and if you can look at it objectively and get past what you want from them and get past what you need from them and your expectations and what you think they are, if you can just drop your whole shtick about the person and just take an objective look at them, you might learn something about yourself. It's very interesting. We were having a discussion about this morning in our Magi Fellowship, and we were talking about, like, I've seen Ace of Diamonds men. Now, Ace of Diamonds men are typically the most gregarious, outgoing, womanizing, secret affairs. If they get married, they're traveling, they're having sex with other women, good at keeping a secret about it. It can go on for years. They can have multiple girlfriends. Generally speaking, if an Ace of Diamonds is traveling somewhere, there's a girl waiting for him. And this can be birth or ruling card. That's the general rule, and it applies in almost every case. So I met this Ace of Diamonds guy, and he was not, I said, why aren't you dating more or whatever? And, no, I just have this one girl. She's my girl. We're it. Man, that's it for me. And I thought, that was so strange. I thought, the cards are wrong. Because this guy is such a convincing proof that all Ace of Diamonds aren't like this. But what happened was his girlfriend did the same thing that an Ace of Diamonds would normally do. She got a job somewhere else, way far away for like months, like 3 or 4 months, started having sex with other guys, broke up with him. So here we have the mirror principle. See, if we can't embrace who we are inside of ourselves, we're going to attract it. We're going to attract it. We're going to marry it. We're going to be in a relationship with it until we can see that it's us. Now, if you keep attracting people who are unavailable or who will not give you what you want, then you have to be willing to look at yourself and say, well, what do I really want? I may tell myself I want this, but I keep having this instead. Which is the truth? What I tell myself or what's happening? See, this is common sense. We have to be able to look at ourselves and look at ourselves honestly and look at what we're getting and realize that what we're getting right now is exactly what we want. I mean, it's what we have wanted to this point. If you want to know what you really want in life, just look at what you got right now. Look around yourself. Look at your whole life situation, your financial situation, your relationship situation, your work situation, your health situation. Now, you may not be aware of the parts of yourself that have created your life to be the way it is. Most of us aren't. Most of us, even the ones who are aware in some areas, aren't often aware of everything. There are so many different parts of us that we're not conscious of, things that were created long ago in our childhood or even in our past lives that are actually operating underneath the scenes. But you can believe, you can just bet your life in a way that if something you really think you want in your life just isn't showing up over and over again, it's because there's some part of you that you're not aware of that is fighting against that. You have to be willing to look inside until you find the answer. If you don't, if you just keep thinking, no, I really do want it. I really do want it. I'm just not getting it. I'm a victim. Life is just terrible. I'm never going to get it. If you just keep on that path, you're never going to learn anything, and you're never going to have any progress because your awareness is not growing. In order to gain that awareness that we need, we have to go inside. We have to look, take a look. When something outside of us isn't manifesting the way we want, and this especially applies in relationship, because relationships are such clear mirrors, and the cards of the people that we attract can tell us so much about what we're, where we're really at. I mean, you might be a very marriageable person just going through a phase right now. You might be just in a phase where you're not really marriageable for a while. Maybe you just got divorced. Maybe you're in transition. Maybe you gave up on love a long time ago and you're just getting back into the picture. Maybe you're not ready for a marriage. You think you are. You keep telling yourself, why aren't I married? Why aren't I having a relationship? Why am I not attracting anybody? Why am I attracting the wrong kind of people? It's not a lie per se, but it's not true. It's just not true. It's not true because it's not what's going on. It's not what you're actually doing. It's just that we're not in touch with or conscious of what we're doing in our life on a lot of levels most of the time. There's a lot that's going on. You know, this is why it's good to kind of sit back and try to drop your concepts about yourself. You know, we get very attached to these thoughts. Oh, I want to get married. I want to get married. And there's this sort of fear behind it. You can feel it. It's like an anxiousness and a fear, like I'm getting too old, I'm never going to have love, or there's all kinds of fears that can be associated with that. And those fears are the things that are clouding our mind and keeping us from seeing what's really going on. They're keeping us from seeing ourselves. They're keeping us from seeing what's really happening inside ourselves. So we have to be willing to just kind of calm down. First of all, just kind of calm down and say, okay, I got the situation in my life. I'm not getting what I want, or at least what I say I want. Okay, now, is there some part of me that doesn't want that, that wants something else? Some part of me that I am not in touch with right now? And just be willing, just open up and say, okay, I'm willing to see, to entertain the idea that there's some part of me that wants nothing to do with that. I'm willing to explore that. Maybe it's not exactly what I want. Maybe it's way off what I want. Maybe it's just a little bit off what I want, but for whatever reason, it seems to be not working. So there must be some part of me that's pushing it away. And that part of me that's pushing away is stronger than the part of me that thinks I want that. This has to be true. This whole word trying, you know, trying. Trying means failing. Trying is the opposite of having something happen. If you either do something like, go get a glass of water, okay. You don't say, I'm trying to get a glass of water. If you do say you're trying to get a glass of water, it means you're not getting a glass of water. It means you're not getting a glass of water. So the word trying means failing. I'm failing at getting a glass of water. I'm very successful at not getting a glass of water. And trying always implies, because we're saying that word, it implies that we think we want that, but we're not getting it. I think I want the glass of water, but I'm not getting a glass of water. Whenever we say we're trying to do something, especially something big in our life like relationships or money or whatever, health or living situation, you can bet that there's a bigger part of us, a much stronger part that's saying, no way we're going to have that. I don't want that. It's just that we're not conscious of it. We're just not in touch with all those parts of ourselves, our deepest thoughts, our deepest fears, our deepest desires, our deepest concerns about a situation. I mean, you know, we might have forgotten why we shut that door. We might have shut that door years ago. Completely forgot about it. Something that was trauma to us 10 years ago. It's still there. We made a decision back then. We're not going there anymore. I've seen lots of clients like this. So, you know, it's always interesting when I do readings for people because I get to explore it with them, and I don't really know the answers often when I start. We're talking and we're exploring, and I'm looking at their cards and I'm looking at their astrology, and it becomes like this exploration into what it's like a mystery movie that needs to be unraveled, needs to be solved. And it's great. It's fun because often we get to the bottom of it. We find out what it is. And it's always something inside the person. It's never the person outside of them. It's never the person they date. It's never their parents. It might be connected to their parents if it's a childhood issue that's still being played out, but it's not ultimately their parents. It's what they can do now because we're all grown up now. You know, we're not kids anymore. We might be driven and being run by our childhood and things that happened, but we also have the ability now as adults to become adults about it and have mastery in that area of our life. So this is really fun for me, this relationship stuff. It was interesting. I was doing a little bit of research on some Eckhart Tolle work, and I want to just read something, if I can find it here real quick, that he said and wrote. And he's talking about the whole thing about relationships. And this is more like when you're in a relationship. He says, when we're in a relationship, and he says most of us are in relationship to satisfy our ego. And our ego is our false sense of identity, our false sense of who we are. So he says there's three dominant states that we can be in when we're in an ego-based relationship. We can either be in a wanting state, like wanting something from our partner. That's one of the three states we can be in. I want something from you. Or we can be in a state of thwarted wanting. Oh, you didn't give me what I wanted. Now I'm upset. Thwarted wanting. Interesting. And then the last thing he says was, the third state is indifference. And indifference is where we just kind of like disconnect. And it's interesting when you look at these three, because this is, you know that if you're in one of these things, you're stuck in your ego with your relationship, okay? And it's embarrassingly accurate and embarrassingly true, at least for myself, to see the power of this, that so much of our relationship is about wanting, or we're either getting what we want or we're not getting what we want, or we're indifferent to our partner. It's very, very interesting. And, of course, the things we want from our partner are things that are there to make us feel better about ourselves, our ego. But this is a whole other topic. As I said, we could speak for weeks about relationship. But for now, I would say take a look at the people that you're attracted to. Look at your relationship right now. Who are you choosing to be with? You know, for women especially, the man that you choose to have sex with is very significant. You may think it's not significant. You may think you may have a sexual relationship with a man and think that it's not really that important. It's maybe just something that you're doing to pass the time. But literally, if you're having sex with somebody, that relationship is a direct mirror of where you're at on some level, on a very deep level. Very, very important. That's why I ask people when I do readings, if they mention a birthday or a name to look at for the reading, I want to know, have you had sex with them or are you having sex with them? Because that's a big distinction. That changes everything in terms of the relationship and the impact and the importance of it and in a person's life, and whether when a woman chooses to have sex with a man, at that point that relationship is regarded as being worthy to be a mirror of where she's at. Until then, it's not, because you know, women can have lots of men around them and not be having sex with them, but the one that they're choosing to sleep with, or the two, or whatever, is going to really tell the real story of them, where they're at, what they're about, how much they love themselves, where they're going in their life, what they really want in relationships, all that. Very, very, it's powerful, it's true, and it's often uncomfortably true, that knowledge of that. Okay, so that pretty much concludes our discussion tonight about relationships and how they are a mirror of ourselves. We're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we're going to take whatever phone calls have come in. The phone lines are open, hoping to have some great discussions tonight, some questions about relationships. On this break, we're going to play the song Krishna, and when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. That was Krishna off my CD called Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed it. We now have some callers, and we're going to first talk to Sydney, whose birthday is October 4th, 1962. She's calling from New Jersey. Are you there, Sydney?
I am.
Hi, how are you, Sydney?
Good, doing well.
Have I spoken to you before?
I have a question. I started a relationship a number of months ago, and the man I'm in relationship with has the same card as I, born on a different birthday.
What birthday is he?
January 22nd, 1963.
Okay, so he's a King of Clubs ruling card, and you're a Jack of Clubs ruling card. So when you have the same birth card, we look at the ruling card to get the details, you know.
Okay.
More. And you guys have very compatible ruling cards.
Yep.
You know, Jack of Clubs and King of Clubs are very compatible. So I think this is a pretty good relationship.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, we have a lot in common, and it seems to be pretty easy and flowing very nicely. So I just wasn't sure whether having the same birth card, whether that was a positive or a negative or whether it mattered.
Well, it can go either way because you are mirrors of each other in important ways. And you may not have seen that yet. It may not have come up yet in the relationship. But it's definitely there. The fact that you're the same birth card, you're going to have a lot of things that are a lot alike, which can be good or bad. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like now, I don't know how you are, but Five of Diamonds often have issues with commitment. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So you may have that. It may be strong for you or not, or stronger for him, or it may not be strong for either one of you two, but it's a potential, you see.
Right.
A potential. And that particular issue, that particular issue is one of those that could actually, you know, destroy a relationship. You know, it has that much power that it's important, you know.
Right.
Like, if I'm afraid of commitment, then it won't matter who I'm with. I'm going to have trouble making commitment, see?
Yeah.
It won't matter that much who I end up with, because that's the thing I'm working on. So, you know, I don't know. Your two birthdays, it could go either way. Like, you two are both about 50% marriageable. Okay?
Okay.
And it may be just the right combination for each of you, or it may not. It's hard to say. You'll know pretty soon,
though. Yeah, neither of us has been married.
Well, there you have it.
I know what my story is. I mean, if there's nobody asking and there's nobody around, that's one thing. But
it's never true that there's nobody asking and nobody around. It's important that you take it to a deeper level for yourself, a level of where you created it. You see?
Okay.
Even if you don't believe that right now, you should be at least investigating from that point of view. Say, why, you know, like the question would be, why would I keep relationships away from me for so long?
Right.
That would be the right question to ask, see?
Okay.
Now, and he's got his own little thing, you know, but I think for both of you, it'll have something to do with freedom. And there's nothing wrong with it. You guys could have a great relationship without having to get married or anything. There's no one saying you have to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if either one of you two even want that. So there's no problem here, really. You know what I mean? I know you're compatible, and that's really the most important thing, that you two could really get along. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's nice to know that you have that, because that's important.
It is important. We have a lot of things in common in addition to it feeling just easy being around each other.
You guys have a really strong past life love connection. You know, you guys have known each other before.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be very easy for you to love each other, even if you didn't have things in common, which you do. But even if you didn't, you guys would actually still love each other with the connection you have.
And where do you see that? How do you see that?
It's between the Jack of Clubs and the King of Clubs. If you look at the connections between the Jack of Clubs and the King of Clubs.
Yeah. Okay.
Look it up in the book. Okay?
Okay. Yeah,
well,
thank you.
Thank you for calling, Sydney. Good luck with that. I hope it goes
thank
really
you.
Well.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have two lines open, folks. If you want to call, now would be a good time. We have, from Ventura, California, a woman named Lisa, whose birthday is September the 7th, 1962. Are you there, Lisa?
Yep, hi, Robert. Great.
How are you?
Tonight. I'm doing great.
Oh, well, thank you. Have I spoken to you before?
Yep, we've talked a couple of times.
Oh, good.
Well, I loved your relationship talk tonight, and it totally fits me, like, because I think I could admit that I tend to be more interested in people who are in some way unavailable. And I just started dating again this year for the first time in a few years. So, and I'm currently with, like, one of the least marriageable cards in the deck, the five of them.
Perfect!
But
here you are at it again.
Exactly, and this isn't even like a relationship. We just are like pretty casual and new, and we're kind of like a friendship, you know, but it's not like we're super serious at all. So.
Have you had sex?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's, like I was saying in the talk, that's a big distinction, you know, when that happened.
Right.
It means that the relationship is now qualified to be a different level.
Right. But, I mean, and I know if that happens, I would probably get freaky afterwards. You know what I mean? Because it's not that secure.
Yeah. So. Okay. So did you want to know something about the relationship or what?
Well, maybe what you think if you think it looks like a possibility card-wise, but also just like, you say the Four of Diamonds, but I have your DVDs and I've read all your books and stuff. You say that, like, Four of Diamonds tend to, like, idealize relationships or be, like, I don't know, not clear on, seek relationships clearly. So do you have any other advice? I mean, you gave good advice earlier. I just didn't know if you had any other suggestions.
Well, you're not just a Four of Diamonds. You're a Four of Diamonds and a Two of Spades, and that's a big difference. You always got to look at that ruling card, too, because that adds a whole other element. And each of those cards has a little relationship stuff going on.
Okay.
Okay. And Two of Spades card, they think relationships to death. In other words, they think about relationships so much they talk themselves out of it.
Right.
They analyze it to pieces.
But you would think I would then talk myself out of the not as good ones and not the solid ones. Maybe I just don't want to get married, I guess.
Well, The Two of Spades has a Three of Hearts as a Pluto card, which is a general fear about the whole concept of marriage and relationship.
Mm.
Okay? It's like an overall blanket fear. It's an area where all their smartness doesn't help them.
Mm.
You know, Two of Spades is the genius card.
Mm.
But when it comes to relationships, they can't figure it out. And that leaves them somewhat perturbed. They don't know how to fit it into their box. They got everything in their mind in a box, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're all good boxers. You know, we box stuff up. Well, Two of Spades is better than average, in fact. They're really good. And love falls in a whole different category. And I think that scares them. That's my opinion of it, anyway.
Okay, and then the Four is like wants
the Four definitely has this high ideal of love, and they get hurt relationship wise early on. They get their heart broken, and when that happens, they often think, "Well, I could never afford to go that and get hurt again to that extent. It was too much. I wouldn't be able to survive it." This is made on a very deep level, this kind of decision. Do you understand? It's not like something they think about. It's something that occurs on a much deeper level inside of them. Does that make any sense to you?
Mm-hmm. So I would have to say that I can't think of a relationship that would have happened, and unless it was like maybe from a childhood thing, like a distrust of like my dad or something, or a parent.
So you never fell in love with anybody in your whole life?
Well, yeah.
It's okay if you haven't. I'm just curious.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I was engaged like once, and then I was with the guy for like 3 years. And at first, I thought I was in love with him, but then when I look back, it's kind of like, you know, maybe not. Maybe I picked people who I'm less gonna be head over heels and hurt if they leave. because then I had like kind of an emotional affair with someone that I just got really hung up on. They were not available, but that is who like I think of as like my true love, someone who never was available.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might pick someone if you're going for unavailable guys or girls or whatever. You're obviously not ready for some reason. That's what you want. You want somebody that's never going to demand much of you. Okay.
Right.
I think that's due more to your two of spades than your four of diamonds.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your call screener is a four of diamonds, and I have a friend who's a four of diamonds who's married, so. And he's a call guy's married.
Four of diamonds do get married. And, you know, it's a work situation, usually. They have to work in the marriage. It becomes like they have to work hard in the marriage to make it work. But it's usually fairly successful, the marriages that Eight of Diamonds people have, as long as they don't get lazy about it, because they have a lazy streak, Four Diamonds people.
Which I never knew about myself, but since you mentioned that, I can kind of maybe see that. I don't think it's so much lazy as I don't do what I don't want to do.
Well, you know, it depends. I call it lazy, but it's just like they don't want life to have to be. They think life should be easier than it is. Like life should be easier than this. That's kind of like a conversation they have going. I shouldn't have to struggle or work so hard for everything. Something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
It manifests, though, on one level as laziness, because it's their excuse for not doing what they need to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this unavailable guy you're dating now.
Okay, so the Five of Clubs, right. And so we have the Five of Hearts karma card in common, I guess.
You guys are karma cousins because of the Five of Hearts that you both share.
So maybe we share the same emotional issues then.
Well, not really, though.
Okay.
He's a five. You're not. You're a four. This is a guy, and he's Leo, I would think, right?
Right, and never been married.
Yeah, he's never going to get married, and you know that. And that's maybe what you want right now.
Mm-hmm, that's possible.
You know, you may change your mind in the future.
Yeah, because he's cool for now, and then but I'm definitely open to meeting other people, too.
He's Mr. Right Now.
Exactly.
As long as you're clear about it, there's no harm in it. I mean, you know, even people who are very marriageable go through stages where they need just to, like, chill out and just, you know, date without so much heaviness around it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. But so if we did, I mean, does that look like a good match? I mean, we do have the mutual Venus, I guess.
It won't happen.
Oh, it won't happen at the marriage because he's not getting married. But
he's never gonna get married.
Right.
And you're not looking like you're gonna get married either at this point.
Right. But you could still like have a longer term relationship and just
you guys could have fun together. There's no problem with that.
Okay. Okay.
Why not? Might as well enjoy each other.
Exactly.
There's a lot there to enjoy and to, you know, be grateful for. There's nothing wrong with it. Marriage is never going to be a topic in his conversation. Not that I'd be willing to bet that he will never have that conversation.
Now, I know a couple other Five of Clubs who have been married a few times, but they're the different birthdays. They're like the April Five of Clubs.
Well, first of all, yeah, the ruling card plays a role. Also, if it's a woman or a man, that plays a role, too.
Yeah, these are guys, too. Huh.
They are guys.
Uh-huh.
Well, did they have affairs?
I don't know. I don't think so, because he's pretty religious. But the other one, I don't know.
Well, religious people have more affairs than other people.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I shouldn't think that.
I mean, that's
that
like where all the sex addicts hang out, in religions, for the most part. So, you know, just because... It's always worth taking a closer look, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like he... Here you look like you have a Five of Clubs who is successfully and happily married. I don't think so.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, I mean, because you don't know the whole story.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the cards, I've never seen the cards be wrong. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Neat.
You know, the cards just... People, we never really escape from being our cards forever.
Hmm.
You know, we might escape for a while. We might be, like, not acting out of our card for a period, but it won't last that long.
Hmm.
I mean, at least that's my experience of it.
Hmm. Gosh, well, thanks for all the great info. I love listening to you.
Yeah, it's great having you on the show. Maybe we can hook you up with somebody. Have you signed up for lovecardsdating.com?
Yes, I did. I did.
Okay.
I'm really excited about it. I want to hear more.
Right.
So are you still planning on launching this summer?
Yeah, the end of this month.
Oh, that's exciting.
We have a deadline. I mean, it's happening. This is not just an idea. This is actually coming to pass.
Well, I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be really a lot of fun for everybody to use this thing. We got some great features we're putting into it. A lot of hard work's going into this thing.
Oh, boy.
So I can't wait till you guys get to see it.
Yeah, me too. Well, good luck with it.
Well, Lisa, appreciate you calling tonight.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for being the guest. Have a nice evening.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have lines open, folks. Two lines are open right now, but we're going to take this call from Laurie, who's in Missouri, and her birthday is February 27th, 1961. Are you there, Laurie?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm great. And are you February 27th, 1961?
Yes, I am.
Good. So what's on your mind this evening? What do you want to talk about?
Well, it's interesting because you talked to a Jack of Clubs earlier and a Four of Diamonds, and those are both my cards. So I'm thinking, well, it must be something I should call in tonight. well, I guess my question is, you know, I read the plates. I look at the plates, and what does it mean? For the Four of Diamonds this year, the Jack of Clubs is on my own Pluto card this year, and I've heard that that's not a very good thing. And then I also have the Nine of Spades this year as a Pluto card, and I'm thinking, oh, well, that doesn't look very good.
Well, you're not dead yet, obviously.
Well, no, not yet, but I hope that's not what I have to look forward to.
You're already halfway through the year, and it's going great. What's your problem?
Well, nothing. I just don't want it to, you know, go south on me or anything.
Well, you know, everybody has a Saturn period every year, and that's coming up for you on September 23rd. And you'll have to get through that, and there's something you'll have to deal with in there. But I don't think it's going to be anything all that significant. You know, the Pluto card can be something that we really want, you know.
Oh, I never thought about that.
It can be a goal that we're pursuing, you know.
Well,
so like Nine of Spades, Pluto could mean I want to end something in my life. I want to have an end of a chapter here in some important area of my life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you want to give up your job to have something better, for example.
Okay. Well, and that's true. I guess you know, from doing readings for people, you tell them one bad thing and 500 good things, and that they're going to fix it. Or at least I do. I fix on that bad thing. You know, when I look at the cards, I'm thinking, oh, I got that Nine of Spades.
Well, I'll tell you what. Try having a long range some year. Okay, I had a long range last year. Try having Saturn sometime. I know people that have gone through Nine of Spades and Saturn. That's when it's difficult. Pluto can just mean it's a goal of yours, you know, and it may be hard. Like letting go of what you have in order to get what you want could be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose it could even be a way of thinking, letting go of some outdated way of thinking.
Well, underneath, there's more to the story. If you study the advanced levels of the cards, that Nine of Spades has an underlying card of the Two of Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Six of Clubs is the result card. You have to look at those together. And there's a King of Clubs underlying the Six of Clubs. And what this tells me is that you have to let go of your fear in order to have in order to find your life's purpose and work. And that life's purpose and work would have you being like an author or somebody who's regarded as an authority in some field or a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I could say that without even knowing anything about you. See?
Well, yeah.
And it's that Two of Clubs. See, that Two of Clubs is your Pluto card. It's underneath that Nine of Spades, and that happens to be your Mars card.
Yes. Yeah.
But also, it also could be about letting go of your argumentativeness.
Oh, me? Argumentative? Yeah, I know. And that's very true.
And complaining.
Debating. I like to debate.
But also complaining.
Right.
That
and I know
school clubs can manifest as complaining, you know, being bitchy.
Bitchy? So, oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
there's a fear underneath the Two of Clubs, you know. It looks like fun on the outside, the argumentativeness, but there's actually a fear under there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fear card, the Two of Clubs.
Well,
so,
and I remember one time an astrologer telling me that I'd like, sometimes if I get bored, I'll pick a fight.
and
they'll either rise to the challenge or,
Yeah.
But I
well, you know, Jack of Clubs can make great debaters. I mean, you know, great pundits.
Mm-hmm.
Pundits. There was a whole class of people in ancient India who were called pundits, and their whole thing was to have big public arguments with other people and see who could win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jack of Clubs for you, you know.
Okay.
Professional debater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And I know that the place repeat themselves every 45 or whatever. And it's interesting because I'm on 47, and I know that when I was two, I moved from my childhood home to another place, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I just moved to Missouri. I'm not moving back to Iowa on plate 47. So.
Uh-huh. How was your move when you were two? How was that move for you? How did you experience that move when you were 2 years old? Was it easy, traumatic? What was it?
It was traumatic. It was you lived in the place for two whole years, and then you suddenly are uprooted, and we moved from the city to the country, and it was just different. And
yeah.
But I feel like, you know, I just moved down here, and I moved from a fairly rural area to a larger city, and I like it here, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not moving again, but, you know.
Well, if you did want to move this year, it's your environment card, and it's highly favored to be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, but if you chose to, it would be very favorable.
Well, and I guess, let me rephrase that. I'm not interested in moving back to where I came from, but, you know, if some guy came along and I thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, I might be interested in moving
him.
No,
I
or
see.
Something
right.
Like that, but...
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, you'll have to sign up on lovecardsdating.com yourself.
Yeah, I know. That's sounding more appealing. Is that live yet? When does that go live?
It's going to be live the end of this month, but you can sign up now and be one of the first people to be notified and get a membership.
Okay.
There's already a little sign-up page on the site, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look for that.
Yeah, so, you know, don't be too afraid about this move, but you do have this Nine of Spades Pluto that's time to let go of something, you know, and it's probably fear-related, something fear-related, you know.
Okay, and that makes sense to me, with some of the things that have been going on, so.
Oh, okay, well, then that's perfect. You answered your own question.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I didn't. But you can't, you know, you pointed me in the right direction. So.
Well, happy to do it. Well, thanks for being my guest tonight, Laurie. Great talking to you, and call again after
you
your
too.
Move.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue taking your calls. We do have one caller, but two lines are open, so feel free to call. We are going to play another song on this break. We're going to play the song Sri Ram. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls. Be right back in about 5 minutes. See you then.
Talking about Ram.
Ram He Sita Ram He Hanuman Lakshmana Ram He Raja Ram
Welcome back, everybody. That was Sri Ram from my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed it. We now have a couple callers, but we still have one line open if you want to call in. We're first going to talk to Denise from Reno. Her birthday is January 4th, 1954. Are you there, Denise?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight?
I'm magnificent. And yourself?
Oh, pretty relaxed and having a good time.
Good.
What's on your mind? I have your, is it your husband's birthday?
Yes.
And he's November 28th, 1951?
Yes, correct.
And what's your question?
What would you see that our mirrors are for each other?
What would I see what? Can you say it again, please?
That our mirrors are for each other.
Okay. Well, you know, let me take a look at this for a moment here. You're actually, the two of you are located actually in different areas of the spread. How long have you been married, you two?
35 years.
One thing I know for sure is that your moon to him, which is the classic marriage connection, he gets to be the boss in the relationship. You're moon to him twice, actually. So this is good. I mean, on that level, it's good. Now, how would you describe the quality of your marriage? I mean, how is it now?
Better than it's ever been.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yes.
Did you guys go through some rough times there for a while? Or?
A couple of different times, yes.
Yeah. I bet it was more on his end, the rough parts.
You mean him experiencing it?
No, I mean him having problems.
Yeah.
You know, his card is a little more unstable than yours. You're much more stable than he is.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's to be expected. He's a five. I mean, fives often don't even get married. A lot of fives won't even get married because they don't want to give up their freedom.
Well, it was his idea.
Well, you know.
Took me by surprise.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But you went along with it.
Yeah, I figured we'd see how it went.
You got married thinking you're going to see how it goes?
Yeah.
Why didn't you get a learner's permit?
I don't know.
Well, it seems to have worked out. Did you guys have a bunch of kids?
Just two.
Just two? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Two kids, five grandkids.
Well, see, it's a little hard at this point. You guys have been married so long, like the mirror thing there, it's a little hard to see. I was referring mostly to people that are out dating and meeting people.
Okay.
They're the ones that are really running into their mirrors all the time and having trouble identifying what's going on. See?
Okay.
But with you guys having two marriage connections, I think it's a really good relationship. You know.
Well, I was just curious as far as the mirrors, if it was, you know, even possible at this point, because he's patient, I'm not.
I'm surprised that you're not patient. But then again, you're a 10, and 10s are very aggressive, you know.
Okay.
Let's go get something done.
I agree with that.
They like to get things done, you know.
Yes, I am a doer.
But, I mean, he's a person that's kind of, he's not like you. He's not a doer so much, but he's restless.
He what?
He's restless.
Yeah.
You know, so I would think that he would be a little impatient sometimes, too, or get a little, you know, jittery or something and want to be somewhere else.
Yes, his knee's always going.
What's that?
His knee is always going.
Oh, really? Interesting.
You know how you sit next to somebody and they've got
knee?
Yeah, that's been our whole marriage.
That was me, too. I think that's still me, actually, in restaurants and stuff. I can relate to that. Well, thanks for calling.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. You guys have a great marriage. Good luck to you guys. Now,
Why,
you're both
you.
In your worst period of the year right now, you know.
What?
You're both in a Saturn period right now. And for you, it's over on September 21st. And for him, it's over on August 16th. He's almost out of his.
Okay.
But if you've had some rough things lately, that's why.
Yeah, it'll pass. All right, well, I look forward to getting my material that I ordered, so.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Denise.
Have a good evening.
Take care. I think we had another caller, though. Seth hasn't put the information up yet. Is there anybody there, Seth?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, who is this?
This is Lori.
Okay, Lori, and what's your birthday?
7/5/1964.
So you're a 10 of diamonds and a 10 of hearts.
Yes.
And have you ever called before?
Actually, I had a personal session with you back in April, and you basically informed me that I need to get over my fear and do some deep breathing and move out of a 23-year-old marriage and a business that I shared with my husband. And I have done that date. And I'm calling because I recently had a birthday, and I'm free. And sometimes I'm not sure if I'm flying or falling, but I am in the midst of it. And I was hoping to maybe get some insight as to what this first period and the next period of my year looks like.
Well, this year is a lot about you finding your real role in life. That's the theme for you.
My real what? I'm sorry?
Your real purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Your role. The role that you play in the world.
Right.
So in other words, like, you know, like, who are you? What are you going to do, you know, in your life? That's what I'm talking about. And why are you here? What do you want to accomplish? You know, those kind of questions are coming up for you.
Exactly, and because before I was defined by being a mother and a wife, and
you've changed identities completely, right? So,
mm-hmm.
But this is not going to be an uncomfortable journey. This is going to be a fun journey. And
good.
There's no doubt that by your next birthday, you're going to know exactly what you need to do and should do, and you will do it. Okay?
Okay.
It's going to involve, it'll be something that involves a partnership with somebody else, a working and financial partnership with somebody else. And I don't know who that is. You may not, you probably haven't met them yet. So you should just be, this can be a year where you just basically just don't take anything too seriously. Like, let it come to you.
Okay.
You can't force it anyway, so don't even try to force it. Just be open to what the universe will bring to you. It's going to bring you the gift. It's going to bring you a little present.
Okay.
And the present's going to be a door will open for you, and you'll say, that's the thing I've been looking for.
So the things that I have currently in my career that I've been, you know, getting
they're
trained
not
in,
it.
And they're not it.
Okay. No. And you know they're not it, so I don't need to
Well, I think they're
that.
Closer to it than it ever has been. I guess that's, you know,
yeah, could be, yeah.
And insightful. Uh-huh.
I'm sure because, well, your whole life is closer to what you want because you made such a big change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole life's a lot closer. And congratulations, by the way. That took a lot of courage.
Thank you. It still does, actually. I feel like I'm, you know, sometimes I'm flailing around. And this not knowing and not being on task is very challenging for me because that's how I get good feelings about myself is, being driven, and it doesn't matter if it's out of fear or not. Just being driven feels rewarding to me because it produces results. And so
I laugh because I know
that
I have that same thing. You know, if I'm not doing something, it's really hard for me to feel okay about myself.
Right.
It's a sickness.
It's an obsession for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so you know, you're approaching this period of life now when you got to start learning how to. Let good things come to you.
Well, that's
and that's
so
your
good.
And that's your biggest life challenge anyway. I think I told you that before, didn't I?
Something like that, yeah. To just relax into it and to not let myself be motivated by fear.
Yeah,
that
no, but this is a separate thing, actually. This is about you have to be willing to let things come to you easily. You don't have to work hard to earn happiness in your life.
Okay.
You don't have to work hard to deserve happiness in your life. You don't have to be a super great worker, a super great mom, a super great anything to deserve happiness. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't get that at some point, you're just going to get older and older really quickly, and you'll never be happy because you're constantly trying to prove that you're worthy instead of just being worthy.
Yes, exactly. Worthy based on what it is that I produce and contribute.
Right, and you don't have. I know you're a diamond like me, and we do this to ourselves, but. You know, you got to learn that it's okay just to be loved for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
What a concept.
Yeah.
For no reason at all, I'm lovable. There's a lot of wonderful things that can happen to you this year. And if you can open up enough to good things, there will be a man that will want to give you everything. The question is if you can receive that or not.
Well, I've been seeing someone who I'm not actually sure what number he is. I haven't looked him up. His birth date is 11/28/72.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't feel like he's a good match for me, but I'm very excited about the freedom that being in a new relationship brings, and I'm not looking for, you know, something where, you know, I'm not looking for seriousness, I'm just looking for fun, and he seems to bring that. So I'm not sure what number or anything he is, but very
yeah.
exciting for me.
Well, you know, he's not the greatest card for you. To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's your Saturn card.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, if you see any signs of that show up, you should head the other direction, you know.
What is he? What is the number?
Well, he's a Five of Hearts and a Seven of Clubs. Five of Hearts is your Saturn card.
Okay.
Your lifetime Saturn card.
Hmm.
You got it?
Well, maybe that's why he feels so dark in so many aspects. He feels a contradiction about who I am about. But sexually and just the whole physical thing feels really good. So I think that's just what I'm attracted to.
Well, having
to
great sex is really great. But just remember, if he ever starts to become critical of you or judgmental of you or starts to use the should word on you, you need to head in the opposite direction as fast as possible.
Okay,
that's all. And if he doesn't, it's fine. But if he does, if you find that he's, like, criticizing you or judging you, you need to realize that this guy, it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse. Okay?
Okay.
So just be aware of that.
Thank
that's
you.
All. Yeah. Because, you know, a Saturn card is it doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but it usually is. So, you know, you can date him for a while, but I wouldn't think too seriously. Otherwise, you're going to end up right where you were before. See, what you want is a man that gives you everything, Laurie. Who's generous? Do you understand? Can you be with that? Could you be okay with a man being generous with you and loving?
I think so. I feel more capable than ever. You know, I was married to a king, a Leo king, and so although he was, you know,
was it King of Hearts?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one to divorce from those guys.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to let go at all. He does not want to be divorced, and he's giving me a really hard time about it. He's making me stay because I don't want to be.
Yeah, they don't let people get divorced too easily.
No, I understand, but for me, I'm emotionally done. I want more than what I feel that relationship can provide me for the next 20 years with, which is emotional lack. You know, I don't want to go through the movements. I want to be intimate, and I do want it all, and that's why I left, knowing that what I was going to get was good, but it wasn't great, and I want a great life. I feel like I'm still young enough to make other choices that will give me opportunities that I don't currently have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're off on a new adventure here. I would just be open, if I were you, to other love showing up in your life, because I see lots of opportunities this year. Don't limit yourself to just one person. Okay?
Okay.
Because I think that there's somebody else coming that you haven't even met yet.
Good.
And I hope I want you to have your eyes open so you don't miss it, that's all.
Okay, I will.
All right, well, thank you for calling, Laurie, and good luck this year.
Thank you, I will. I appreciate
great
your time.
Great talking to you. All right,
you
good
goodbye.
Night. Bye-bye. Okay, and our next caller is from Asheville. It's a friend, best friend of my wife. Her name is Dorothy. Are you there, Dorothy?
I am. Hi, Robert.
We finally connected.
Yeah, how are you tonight?
Good. I'm relaxed.
Great.
Nice evening here. And I don't remember what... I think Desiree might have mentioned what you wanted to call me for, but now I don't remember, so you got to tell me.
Well, no, I don't think I talked to her about this, but...
Okay.
I've met two guys in the past week or two, and I'm laughing because I really get that I need freedom in my life. And both of these men, the first guy is recently divorced, and he's has teenage children, and so that's not usually the right scenario for me, but really very pleasing to the eye. And then the other guy has a lot of substance, but I don't feel any chemistry with him. And I know that my my destiny report says that I'm likely to meet someone this year. And so I guess my question is, I know that I need freedom. I'm not necessarily looking for marriage, but I would like love and companionship. And just kind of wondering what you see is up for me.
Well, you know, you have a Three of Hearts environment this year, which means that you should actually be dating more than one person this year and being okay with that.
Okay.
You know, it's like when you have a Three of Hearts, usually it's not the year that you're going to make a choice for one person.
Okay.
It's not the year that you settle down with somebody. It's the year that you get back into the market, date a few people, get a sense for what you want. It's that kind of year.
Okay.
And this is just the beginning for you. And next year is going to be quite the year. I don't know which card you read. I don't know which card you read this year that said you were going to meet somebody. I don't see it there really strongly. What did you have that you thought meant that?
I think it's during the Neptune period that I think there's some sort of past life connection coming up.
Well, you have a King of Hearts in Neptune and your Six of Hearts spread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is your own card. That's often a card of having a lover of the opposite sex. For women, it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you could certainly have one. Do you want one?
Well, I think that'd be really great.
Okay, well, why don't you have one?
I got to meet the right guy first.
Well, don't lower your requirements a little bit, all right?
Oh, well, might be a challenge.
See, your problem is you're putting up too high of a wall. You're like, okay, you got to climb over that wall. We're not having sex, all right?
Yeah.
And it has to be the one person of your whole life. What's that about? Get off of it.
I know.
You know, I've found that there's a lot of people that we've obviously lived probably thousands and thousands of lifetimes. And we're going to meet a lot of people in our life that we have very special connections with. And, yeah, some people may have the one, and some people may have the hundred.
Well, okay. Yeah, I think my issue is that I usually look for somebody with a deep connection. You know, I want some depth to it. I don't really look for superficial stuff.
Well, you know, you don't have to give up wanting that. I mean, you can have that, but sometimes you have to get out there and play around a little bit and be a little more open and relaxed about it. And then the person shows up, you know?
Mm, okay.
I mean, you're a King of Hearts. You got charm on your side. You should be using it.
Well, yeah, actually, I mean, when I decided I was ready to meet somebody, I literally met two guys in 3 days.
Yeah, well, that's
so.
Okay.
I'm a powerful manifester. I just, haven't exactly met the person.
Listen, you have a lot of love coming in your life. You shouldn't be putting such a high requirement on it, though, because you're turning away love that's being offered to you. God's bringing you love. You're saying nope, and He goes, "Well, I'll come back next lifetime." Okay. I'll come back when you're a little more open.
Okay.
You got so many love cards in this next year. You got so many love cards next year. Oh my God, you got the Two of Hearts in Venus. You've got the Queen of Hearts long range. You got the Ten of Hearts long range. This could be a feast of love next year.
Okay.
But you're going to have to get a new attitude here.
I'll work on that.
All right,
so let me ask you a question about the love card dating thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, is that going to be for like a nationwide connection, or you try to connect people in their local area?
Well, that's up to you. If you like travel, you can or not.
Okay, well, I surely like travel.
I know a lot of people that would love to travel for love, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not limiting it to any one area. That's up to you.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
We're going to.
Well, I think.
See, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have that functionality where you can search for people within a certain range of. At least not right off the bat. We may have it later. How you can search for people within like so many miles of your zip code. We're not planning to implement that at the beginning. It's just going to be, but you will see where they're located, you know.
Okay.
And if it's important to you, you can eliminate people by the ones that being out of state or something like that.
Okay.
So, but the most cool thing about it is you'll be able to find out, like, who are the people that really match your criteria.
Yeah.
You're actually going to create your own criteria. We're going to give you like a list of six different qualities, you know, or we call them the indexes, like attraction, you know, compatibility. But we have some new names for them and different distinctions. And you're going to let us know which of those are most important to you. And then we're going to be able to pick the people from the whole database that match your criteria for you.
Mm. Oh, that sounds fun.
I mean, you'll be able to do your own shopping around, though, through the list, of course, but we'll make suggestions based on what you tell, what you say you want, and based on what we know from their birthday. So that's going to be fun.
Well, great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, you know, just this, whatever happens between now and your birthday is just a warm-up.
Okay. Ooh, looks like
it's like you know, it's like you know how football players get up and they stretch before they play. You know, they do a few passes. It's like that.
Okay.
So get out there and you know limber up because you got a big year. You got the probably the biggest love year you've had in a long time coming up after your birthday.
Well, this is good news because it's
and
it's
been a long you know it's a very strong indication that you're going to. Meet somebody really significant, but my suggestion is lighten up a little bit.
Okay, got it.
You know, don't go into it like with such high requirements right off the get-go. How do you even know? I mean, how do you really know exactly what you want? I mean, you know, we think we know, but sometimes God throws us a curveball. Like somebody will come in that we never would have picked, and it turns up being the person that we had no idea what they could bring to our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So just be a little more open-minded.
All right, I will.
You won't have any trouble attracting them, I'll tell you that, though. It's going to be great.
Okay.
So have a great year, Dorothy.
Well, thank you, Robert.
I'll let Desiree know that you finally got through tonight.
Okay, well, give her a hug for me.
I will. Good night, Dorothy.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we do have one caller on line four, but we have two lines open if you want to call in. On this break, we're going to listen to the song Rama Rama. When we come back, we'll talk to Connie from Michigan, whose birthday is January 15th, 1954. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Rama Rama off Bhakti Rock, my music CD. I hope you enjoyed it. We do have three people on the line, starting with Connie from Michigan, born January 15th, 1954. Are you there, Connie? Hello? Anyone there?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Monique Antoinette.
Oh, I guess we lost Connie.
Ah.
How are you, Monique?
I'm fine. How are you this evening?
Good. And your birthday is January 10th, 1967, is that right?
Yes.
How'd you get a name like Monique Antoinette? That sounds pretty powerful.
My mother and my godmother got together and decided that would be my name.
They wanted you to have the most queenly name they could come up with, obviously.
Yes, they did. My godmother is French-Canadian, so that's where that influence came from. And I'm grateful for it, too. It's a great name.
Yeah, it's a cool name. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, what is on your mind this evening, Monique Antoinette?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for the intermediate DVDs. I just received those a few days ago, and they're just wonderful. I actually watched all six straight through.
Oh, wow. Great. Oh,
yeah,
I'm glad you got
I learned a lot. Yes, thank you. You are wonderful.
Thank
so my
you.
Question is the Ten of Diamonds in this in the environment position, this is the second week it's shown up. And so I'd like to get some feedback from you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing something?
Are you doing, is this in your weekly reading you're doing by hand?
Yeah, my weekly reading.
Okay. Well, you know, these weekly cards are not as significant as the ones in your yearly spread. By any means.
Okay.
And you have an Eight of Diamonds environment this year in your yearly
yes.
spread.
And it's been wonderful.
So there's money for you.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced
getting a lot, that. Seems like a lot. Seems like you're getting a lot of wishes fulfilled, if you ask me.
Hmm.
Are you there?
I am.
Okay. Because the Ten of Diamonds environment will bring wishes.
Okay.
So a lot to be grateful for. And you have a Ten of Diamonds as your Pluto card this year in your life, in your yearly spread.
Yes, yes.
So this is about embracing the blessings.
I can do that.
Good. Yeah, well, you got to be careful.
I've been practicing gratitude.
See, Four of Spades and Ace of Diamonds. Both can get into, like, I got to work for it or I don't deserve it. You have to watch
yes.
that. You understand?
Well, you know what? I have you to thank for opening my eyes to that.
Oh.
And so I've been diligent in working on letting it come with ease and not just going into workaholic mode for nothing, for no reason.
Well, you know, Ace of Diamonds, I'm an Ace of Diamonds ruler also, and we have to do something in life because we need to prove on some level that our existence is worthwhile.
I agree with you there.
Do you relate to that at all?
I do.
When I'm by myself, I
admit that.
It's kind of a subconscious thing, you know what I mean? It's like it's deep inside of us. It's like
mm-hmm.
it was there when we were born, and it may take us our whole life to figure it out, you know, like why and all that. But it's definitely there, and there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, if it's always going to be a struggle, it's no fun.
It's true.
You know, it should come easy sometimes. It should come like, because we already put in the hard work, we should just be able to receive it and have it be easy. So I think that's what you're up against this year, is like the opportunity to have it be not so hard.
You're right. That's probably why I'm a little panicked about this second, it's showing up again for the second week instead of just, you know, just chilling and going easy.
Yeah, and being grateful, just be grateful, like, hey, good, more good luck, bring it on, I want it.
Got it. Yeah, that's all Ace of Diamond at work.
Yeah, I know, it's, you know, every card has its own side, you know, the good side and the not so good side, so.
Yeah.
It's nice if we can relax a little bit and not be so driven all the time.
It is. It feels
strange. It may not happen very much, but it may not happen a whole lot, but, you know, at least we can shoot for that in our life.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well then, I'm going to just kick back this week and let it come.
Yeah, just it's probably already there. Just look around and just say, come on, you can come over now. I won't bite your head off.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah, I think you got it.
All right. Okay, I'm going to call you next week.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear from you, and I'm sure our listeners would too.
Okay.
So thanks for calling in tonight. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
What part of California do you live in, Monique?
Near Universal City.
Oh, okay. So you're down in by L.A. area.
Yeah.
Okay. Just curious because Seth didn't say so. All right. Well, have a great evening. Great talking to you again, and please call again.
Thank you. I will. Bye.
All right. Good night. Okay, without further ado, we have Connie. Oh, Connie is still with us. Okay, so if Connie's there, bring Connie on. Are you there, Connie?
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, yay, we've got Connie online. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And Connie, are you January 15th, 1954?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was kind of wondering if there's something in my cards that shows an indecisive quality as far as relationships go, because it seems like I've, you know, moved through several in my life, and I feel good about it. I've got one person that I've been dating for a couple years, and he's December 16th, 1953, and it feels like it's a steady, stable, kind, generous relationship with a, you know, slightly flawed person, but, you know, he is generous and kind, too. And then I'm going to be visiting someone that sometimes I think he's maybe the love of my life in a way, but I don't know. And I just wonder, you know, am I ever going to settle down?
Well, this is the thing about being a Queen of Diamonds. You know, have you read in my book about Queen of Diamonds?
Yeah. Off and on for the past 5 years, I've used the book, and actually, your description of the Queen of Diamonds is kind of the thing that made me or allowed me to comfortably make a switch from teaching into I'm going into sort of a business venture. And I thought, well, you know, the Queen of Diamonds says that service through business, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
But you're saying it's also indecisive? Maybe I'm misled.
Well, every card has its relationship stuff too. There's the work part, and then there's the relationship stuff. Okay.
Okay.
So, the Queen of Diamonds, I'm a Queen of Diamonds too. We have a lot of indecisiveness when it comes to relationships. It's one of our biggest challenges in life.
Okay.
We want to have this and that at the same time.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a karmic thing. It's brought over from past life. It's something that we have to deal with. And it's not going to go away, I can tell you that. It's going to be around until, I think that thought or the idea that will be around for most of your life, but it doesn't have to be a problem in your life.
Okay.
Now, at some point, you may meet somebody that you really feel like, wow, this is it. I mean, it's still possible. It's certainly possible that you could meet somebody that you feel like, this is the person I could live with the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not out of the question. Even if you have this decisive nature, that's not the end of the story. Okay.
Okay.
So,
I'll know it. I'll know it for sure when it happens.
You'll know it when you see it. If you see it. I mean, you're 54 now.
Mm-hmm.
It may not. Maybe it's not going to happen for you, or maybe it will. It just depends how important it is to you.
Okay.
I mean, if you find yourself like thinking about it a lot and wondering, then it may be important to you.
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Yeah.
Could you tell me if this very dear, dear friend who has a birthday of November 5th, 1950, is that, I mean, there's some very, very strong, strong pull there through the years.
Yeah, well, he is a two of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a six of diamonds, and he's also a ace of hearts. He is, you're like one of his Neptune cards, so... Actually, you're Neptune to him twice. So he can't get you out of his head.
Uh-oh. Well, so...
I mean, that's just the nature. If you met, there are certain cards, if you met them, you'd have the same experience. Okay?
Because
we all have a Neptune card. Or more than one, actually. We have Neptune cards. So
well, I do feel that way about him. I do feel that way. But he
well, there, you know, he is, I will say this, that in the relationship, he is the moon to you in this relationship. So he adores you and he worships you. That must feel really good.
Yeah. He actually lives in Colorado, and I'm going to go and visit for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I was just kind of
when are
wondering.
You going?
In 3 days.
Oh, okay. Well, you picked not the best time to go, okay?
Because of the Saturn coming up?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have the worst cards there, so I'm not saying it's going to be difficult. I do think, though, that it's going to bring up for you more indecision.
Oh, great.
See, at age 54, which I just finished age 54 in July.
Okay.
We have our first karma card, which is responsible for much of our indecision. We have that as our Saturn card that year.
Okay.
So you're going to be face to face with all your indecision after this trip or during this trip.
Hmm.
But what would happen if all of a sudden you really like this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What, that might bring up a lot of stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you started to want to be with him?
Mm-hmm.
Might rock your little world there.
Yeah.
Like, now what do I do with my other guy?
Right.
You know, I don't know exact parameters, but you get the feeling for it, right?
Right.
Something like that's going to happen for you.
Yeah.
It's in the cards.
It's in the cards, okay.
Yeah, it's in the cards. Yeah. Overall, I think it's going to be a good trip, though.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't see anything earth-shattering between now and your birthday. So I wouldn't be too concerned about anything.
I've had an incredible year. It's been absolutely wonderful.
That's pretty good, considering you have a nine of spades long range.
Oh.
See, this is what people don't realize, and I'm glad you shared it, because we normally associate the nine of spades with loss and problems and difficulties, but the nine of spades can represent fulfillment on a really big, deep level.
Hmm.
you mean like the end of a long cycle of wanting something in our life that was important to us because we achieve it, because we get it. So it can
be that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're experiencing.
Yeah. Great.
Well, great talking to you, Connie. I'm glad you hung in there and didn't hang up.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to talk with you.
Yeah, have a wonderful trip.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're only going to have time for two more callers. We're going to have to kind of go through it kind of quickly. But we have waiting on one of the lines, Nikki from Philadelphia, whose birthday is April 26, 1974. Are you there, Nikki? Hello? Anybody there?
Hello?
Oh, who is this? Hello?
Hello? This
Hello?
Is Kathy.
Kathy. Okay, you're the second caller. That's fine.
Yeah.
And your birthday, Kathy, is it June 29th, 1951?
It is.
Okay, good. We have you on the line. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, since my birthday, last year I felt really grounded and had a lot of, you know, ambition to get my projects and stuff done. And this year I just feel like I'm scattered and not being able to really focus, you know, on things that I need to focus on. I feel like I'm
talking about since, are you talking about since your birthday?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if it's to do with that. I know I have an Ace of Spades and a Displacement, and I'm not sure, you know, which one of my cards, whether it be one of my Queens or, you know, in my Three of Hearts. So, and I don't know if it's attributed to that, just like, you know, or, you know, just where I'm at.
Well, you do have a Three of Hearts. You know, in your cards right now, you have a Ten of Diamonds and a Three of Hearts, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that three is your ruling card. You're an Ace of Clubs, Three of Hearts. Mm-hmm. So you have the Three of Hearts right now. Like, what are you unfocused about? Is it about your work or what?
Well, you know, I feel like I'm kind of being pressured somewhat to move back to Wisconsin. And I just really don't feel like I want to do that right now. You know, but I feel like, you know, the heartstrings are tough. And I'm difficult with that.
Well, I think you're going to move.
You think so, huh?
I
don't want to.
You have a 5 of Spades long range. You got a 5 of Spades long range and a 5 of Hearts result. Okay, it's actually going to be a good thing after you get through that. It's actually going to be really good.
Okay.
Because when you have a 5 as a result card, it means you end up in a really wonderful place.
Okay.
So
I'm
don't
tell
think
myself that.
Yeah, just because you're going back to the same place doesn't mean it's going to be the same scene all over again.
I know, except it's very cold in Wisconsin, and I don't want to deal with that.
Well, you know, there's the one thing I like about cold weather is it's good snuggling weather.
Maybe with my pillow or teddy bear. there's no significant other in my life right now, so.
Maybe there'll be one once you get there. I mean, you know, let's be optimistic.
I would be optimistic. Okay, I really love Colorado, and that's what I guess the difficulty is, maybe.
Well, you know, I mean, you have pretty strong move cards here. It doesn't have to be back to some place that you don't want to be. It could be anywhere. I just want to say that in case, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want you to feel like you have to go back to some place that you don't love. Maybe you just move to a new house in Colorado.
You know, I really, my long-term goal is to move up the mountain. You know, I want to live up the mountain. So that would make me very, very happy. So I'm hoping maybe that's what it is.
Okay. Well, if I say that you have the power to make that be true.
Okay.
And don't let your family pressure you. I think you've probably already paid your dues in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be nice for you to really just kind of put yourself first for a while.
Okay. And I've gotten over the fact of feeling guilty about doing that too.
Oh,
because
good.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
That's the thing. You have to get over the guilt, and then you can make a good decision about it. See, because guilt's not a good place to make a decision from. So. Well, good, Kathy. Well, why don't you call us back and let us know how things go in a few months?
I will.
It would be great to hear from you and see how things have developed.
All righty.
Well, be open, though. You're going to feel restless yourself soon. You're going to be feeling like, oh, I want to get up and go somewhere. You will. You're going to go like, I gotta get out of here. I got to go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a travel card. I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Kathy.
Thank you, Robin.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I hear that Nikki is still on the line. Are you there, Nikki?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. We finally connected. What happened? Were you, like, just there, but I couldn't hear you, or what?
Well, I kept saying hello, but then I heard
the
last girl talking all of a sudden, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. I have your birthday is April 26, 1974. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you're an eight of clubs with a four of spades ruling card?
Yeah.
And what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I called you way back when. I think it was several months ago. I remember being in my Saturn period, so I'm thinking it was either November or December or something. And I'm kind of just calling as a follow-up on that because at that time I think I asked you about my love life, and it's still a mess. So I'm just calling to kind of see what you see in the card.
Can you tell me what a mess is? What is a mess for you? What does that look like?
I don't know. I just can't find a person that, I don't know, it just never works out. It just never works out. So in that sense, it's a mess.
Well, you mean you have, let me see if I got this straight. You meet somebody, you have a relationship for a while, but then it ends? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's usually I'm the ender. What's that?
You leave the person?
Yeah, usually I'm the one that leaves it because it doesn't live up to what I thought it was going to be, or either I feel like, usually I've been deceived in some kind of way. And so I generally end it. But then the guys that I'm usually in this situation with, they try to kind of like make me feel guilty for leaving them. It sort of becomes a battle of wills at some point. And that's just been the general pattern.
Is it easy to make you feel guilty?
Yeah. I think that's something that comes from my childhood. But it doesn't work enough that it makes me go back to them. But it is something that will kind of play on my mind for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal. You know, that's good. So, you know, you are a very marriageable person. And if you really want to get married, you can and you will. You could get married this year.
This year?
Yeah, would you like that?
No, not this year, but I would like to I would like to be with somebody this year that, you know, eventually we would get married, but I want to...
Oh, you are so stubborn. You are so stuck in your little head.
Really? You think so?
You're an eight of clubs. You think you got it all figured out.
See, no, that's not true, because I...
See, love doesn't follow rules, Nikki.
But see, you know what, for me it has to, only because I've been through a lot of emotional trauma as a teenager. You know, I've been raped twice, and, you know, I've had a few things happen to me, so I feel like I have to kind of be in control a little bit of the people that I let come into my life, but even with that, it still doesn't help, because I find...
Well, that's
people
the
that
point I'm making here, is that, see, as smart as you are, all of your calculations about love aren't they're not working for you. It just isn't
going to happen. Well, I don't think I set out with calculations. The current situation that I'm in, I actually didn't do that at all. But I feel like there needs to be some common sense rules to it as well. Like the guy has to have some practical things to be able to offer me, you know? So
well, of
I don't
course.
Think that's about me. Yeah,
well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Me.
I think you should go into it with really, I think you should really have an idea of exactly what you want. Get as clear
yeah.
as you can about exactly all the qualities that you want. And be clear about the qualities that you don't want in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and you can have all those. I mean, like I was talking about in the beginning of the show, like, why women would ever date somebody who's an alcoholic, you know, like they do, but why do they do it? It's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous. You can't have a relationship with an alcoholic. You can't have a relationship with a drug addict. You can't have a relationship with a man who's married. You can't have a relationship with a man who's doesn't have a job.
Right.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So those things are all good. But you never know when this person's going to show up. And you got to just be open.
Well,
you know?
I've been involved this year with a guy who's a three of spades, and he's been, you know, talking about marriage, but he doesn't have anything practical to offer me. Like, he's all talk, and to me, he's very flaky. Not that I even want him to propose to me at this point, but he just kind of lies about a lot of stuff. So I'm like, well, you want to marry
well,
me?
Well, you already, if you read my book, you already knew that when you first met him. Have you been
well,
reading my book
no,
at all?
Well, no, I didn't. Yeah,
well, there's
I do
the
have
problem.
Your book. I noticed that after the fact, once I kind of started to really get in with this guy, and I was like, you know what, let me go check the book. And I saw that he was a three of spades, and I'm going, okay,
he's
I don't know if three of spades.
He's a nutcase.
Huh?
Okay, so you know we have a new dating site.
Yeah, he's right? a nutcase. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you know we have a dating website coming up, right?
Uh-huh.
Lovecardsdating.com.
Uh-huh.
Have you signed up yet?
No.
Well, get yourself on there.
So what, I mean, what card is right for me? Like, I don't even know.
The website will tell you. Trust me. It'll figure it all out for you. It really is. It really will.
So he's not right for me?
You want to be chasing that crazy person around all the time?
But that's the thing. I don't chase him at all. I'm actually very indifferent to him at this point. He chases me.
Moon to you. I mean, he makes you feel safe, but he's not somebody that even knows what he wants. I'm serious. He's not a good choice for you. I mean, he's moon to you, which makes you feel good, but mm-hmm. he's not going to be the man that can do everything for you that you want.
I don't know.
But I just want to end this with you right now by saying that you have a very strong marriage card this year. Very strong by your next birthday. Okay?
Yeah, I saw that Four of Hearts, but it was Three of Spades, Four of Hearts for Pluto. So I'm thinking, like, I can't marry this guy. So is it with him or somebody that's a Three of Spades?
What birthday is he?
He's April 5th, 1961.
Oh, he's an Aries?
Yeah, and I'm actually his Pluto and result card this year for
yeah,
his
Yeah, well,
birthday.
You need to get away from him as far as you can, as quickly as you can.
Really?
Yeah, don't waste any more time with him. Whatever he says,
wow.
he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know the answer himself. He's a Five of Diamonds ruler. This guy's not going to get married.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure that he really likes you, okay? But he can't change who he is.
Sure.
He can't change his birthday.
Wow. But he's been married before. So Five of Diamonds don't get married at all?
No, it's not that they don't get married. They usually try it once, but they really can't sustain it.
And I kind of got that impression right from the beginning. Because he just seems a little on the immature side. But then if he thinks I'm not interested, then all of a sudden he becomes his mature. I'm like, okay, here's the actor part stepping in.
Well,
you know,
you've already answered your own question. You know what he is. Now it's up to you. If you really want something better, you got to let him go and send him on his way. and make room for somebody to show up. You got a bunch of love cards coming up, but if you're not available, they're just going to pass you by.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So it's up to you.
Well, we're already in the friend zone, so, you know, I already told him that, you know, I was going to move on and date other people, and he's like, okay, let's be friends, but here he's calling me every night. I'm like, friends don't call each other every night. Like,
you don't have to. When he calls, just you see the caller ID and you don't answer.
Oh, no, but that would be easy, but he's taken to calling from other numbers or calling from his cousin's house and numbers I don't recognize.
Change your phone number.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't feel like
you're not without resources, my dear, and you're not a victim of this guy. He may stalk
you. Oh, no, I know I'm not a victim, you know.
He may stalk you like crazy, but, you know. So anyway, we have to end now, Nikki, because we're going over time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, thanks for the advice.
You're welcome. And, you know, call back after you've gotten rid of this guy, and we'll talk some more.
All right. Take care.
All right. Good
Bye.
Night. Bye-bye. Well, I think that concludes our show tonight. We're a little bit late, but there's nobody behind us, so I guess we're good to go. We're going to end, as we always do, with our favorite song, which is called the Gayatri Mantra. I hope you enjoy it. If you're getting ready to go to sleep, I hope it sends you off to pleasant dreamland. This is Robert Lee Camp saying good night. We'll see you next week, same time, Monday night, 7 o'clock Pacific. See you then. Bye-bye.
Tatsaviturvarinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurva Swaha Tatsaviturvarinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Pravinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tatsaviturvarinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam.